Wolf, and Luke.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Ron Wolfley.
This is going to make me look kind of freaky.
Luke Lipinski.
The great Luke Lipinski.
Devaluing the word great if you follow for Luke Lipinski.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Well, it has been a weird couple seasons for ASU football. Or really for everybody in the Pac-12, I'm sure. Last year, you only got to play four games. I had, honestly, Wolf, maybe my highest expectations for ASU football that I can remember was going into last season, and then got to play four games. They did get to beat U of A 70-7, though. I'm not expecting a repeat of that on Saturday, but ASU is, again, talent-wise, the far superior team.
Going into this season right here, it's interesting to hear you say going into last season, where they only played four games. Going into this season, this is the best team I thought we were going to see in the Herm Edwards era.
I thought you were
going to
say they only played four games again this year, even though they had 11 scheduled.
Exactly. No, listen, that you know me. I'm not sarcastic.
No, but I am. I just took that chance to jump in.
Look at the way your brain just worked right there. You know, honestly, again, the talent on this team, it's the best that Herm Edwards and his staff have generated so far. This is the most talented team, I think, that I've seen here, in 15 years?
I don't think that's unreasonable. I mean, they have been recruiting very well, and whatever this investigation shows, I'm not going to, maybe this is just my bias from having gone to ASU, I'm not going to believe that they were able to recruit this team if they recruited during a dead period. I don't think it made a difference. If that's what happened, it doesn't mean they're not accountable for it. I just don't think they needed to do it. They have recruited a good team. As you said earlier, this is Herm's greatest strength is recruiting.
Yes. Yes. And I thought this was going to be it coming in here. The fact that they're 7-4 right now, and the way that they've got to 7-4, it's not just the fact that they're 7-4. It's how. It's by beating themselves. Isn't that right, Utah? It's so bad to see a team go out there and shoot itself, metaphorically speaking, in the foot. It's the worst way to lose.
They handed BYU that game on September 18th. They absolutely handed it to them.
Because of what?
16 penalties.
And penalties.
The Utah game on October 16th, they had responded. I'd give them credit. Even after the BYU loss, they had gotten to 5-1. I remember we talked about it on the show. If you beat Utah on October 16th, you're probably good the rest of the way, because you would have had the tiebreaker over Utah and UCLA at that point, and you would have had a significant lead, and they were up 21-7 at halftime, and then I will never understand what happened in the second half of that game, and they lose 35-21, and Utah is a good team, but you also took, 13 penalties against Utah. So, the Washington State game was, it was unwatchable. It's the best way to describe them at times this year. They are just unwatchable. And then the game on Saturday against Oregon State, you don't really have much to play for at that point, even though that's not an excuse.
Yes.
It's definitely not an excuse this week, though. I mean, you are playing U of A team that has won one of their last 23 games, and they won that game because half of Cal was missing, dealing with COVID. And yet, U of A's like playing harder each week. ASU just seems to be kind of lost right now. So it's never a given in this series. Maybe it was last year in retrospect, looking at the 70-7 final score. But this has all the makings of a very strange game on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, and once again, too, one of the things that bothered me was not only did I see a team that was undisciplined earlier in the season, but I saw a team, Basedonians, that just seemed disinterested from time to time.
Yeah.
We saw that against the Carolina Panthers with the Arizona Cardinals. They went out there, and their intensity level was not where it needed to be. And you can see what happened. This is the game of football. It doesn't matter what level you're playing at, high school, college, professionally. If you're not ready to go out there and play with the requisite amount of intensity that you should, you got no chance. You're going to play like the Arizona Cardinals played against the Carolina Panthers. There's been a few times, Washington State, there's been more than a few times that I've actually watched ASU and said to myself, not only are they undisciplined, they seem disinterested.
They seem like they're not in the moment sometimes. I don't know what they're focused on or what, but it doesn't seem to be that game. And honestly,
this is what is, I'm sorry to cut you off, Luke, but this is what is so disturbing to me. because I thought the two areas Herm Edwards was going to be lights out.
Yeah.
Was number one, recruiting, walking into some kid's living room, and there's his loved ones, his parents, and he's recruiting the kid, and all of a sudden it's Herm Edwards with all of that goodness. I thought he was going to be lights out at closing deals, and I also thought he was going to be great at motivating 17- and 18-year-old kids, getting their attention, focusing that attention, that concentration. Where all of a sudden they did go out there with the requisite amount of intensity and balled out. And that really hasn't transpired.
No, and you know what? You need them both. Because I would argue he has gotten the recruits up till this year. He's been getting the recruits. But if you can't get them focused on Saturdays to not take 7 false start penalties, then it doesn't ultimately translate into wins.
It's even more important that you do that, because when you have talented, talented dudes, you know what happens? All of a sudden, those talented players go, man, I'm really good. I'm good. What do you mean get all jacked up? I don't need to get all jacked up. I don't need to take myself to a new level. I'm just good. Give me the ball and get out of my way. You kind of get my point. I'm embellishing for a reason here. It's just that talented players aren't threatened so much of the time.
Well, you need to feel that. Whatever that is, going into the Territorial Cup game. This is Herm Edwards on with Bickley and Murata yesterday.
That's the kind of game it is, and record has nothing to do with it. Both teams compete in this game, and it's quite a rivalry. It dates back long, long, long time.
Yeah. Whatever happens after the Territorial Cup game, as far as this coaching staff, yeah. Where does Jaden Daniels go? Does he stay? Do they stay? Who knows? But I can tell you, if you don't win the Territorial Cup, when U of A has, again, they're 1-22 in their last 23 games, if you can't beat them at home, the cries from the fan base for this coaching staff to be out of here are going to be very, very audible.
Yeah. See, to
on
me,
top of everything else.
Absolutely. But to me, going back to what I was saying, do you think the U of A feels threatened? Do you think they feel threatened in this game?
Yeah.
Yeah. They should. They should feel threatened. I wonder if ASU does.
I don't know what ASU feels anymore, because they don't look like this season, towards the end of the season, they don't look like they feel anything. They just kind of look like they're there.
That's part of the problem. Uninspired.
It's so strange to me, because I can't think, I don't know. I don't think Jaden Daniels,
right now,
they need to win.
Brawls on the sideline. Can I just say that?
I think it might be a little bit late for that.
Just walk up to somebody and bash their face in because they didn't do what they were supposed to do.
I mean, they're getting decent linebacker play.
Did that seem aggressive of me to say something?
I don't know. It kind of seems just I kind of ran with
it. I'm just saying. Does it happen in the game of football? Yes, it does, my young grunks. It happens. Sometimes you lose your mind.
Rashad White's playing well. I feel like I should single him out and give him some credit. But just as a team, this is especially in the Pac-12 the way it is this year, you should have cruised.
There's nothing wrong with yelling at somebody on the sideline. Nothing.
Coming up, it's the Cardinals' bye week. So what's the key to making sure they get the most out of that bye week? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Nothing.
Hi, this is Zaven Collins. You're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Favorite part of the day right here, Zaven.
The Mike Backers, who's your quarterback, and that's Zaven. That's Zaven Collins.
Oh, he's going to do amazing things. They've got a guy with freakish ability.
Hit in the backfield and dragged down as a Dallas running back, and there is Zaven Collins.
I mean, he's working hard.
Look at that.
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
All right, well, if I don't think this means anything, I hope it doesn't. Cardinals haven't won a game coming out of the bye week since 2017 when Bruce Arians was the coach.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So
they haven't really? Wow.
They've lost.
Okay, so 2017, so this would be five. If they lost,
this would be four. This would be four.
This would be four.
Yeah, you and I, our math has been way off all day off the air.
Honestly, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Well, because they won in 17.
Okay. So they won.
This is where the two of us got caught up for like 15 minutes before the show. We're like, wait a minute. Okay,
how
what comes after three? We were both. We looked at each other. We're like, okay, neither one of us can count. Let's go do a show.
Right. Okay. 2017, they actually won coming out of the bye.
Yes. That was Bruce Arians. Then the next year, nobody remembers the 2018 season by design.
Yes.
That was the Steve Wilkes year. They went. They beat San Francisco October 28th. Bye week, came out, lost to the Chiefs 26-14 on November 11th. How did they keep a game against the Chiefs in 2018 that close? that is amazing to me.
Yes.
But either way, that was a loss coming out of the bye week in 2018. Then Cliff Kingsbury's first year, they lost to San Francisco by 10 going into the bye week on November 17th. They had the week 12 bye week that year. And then came back, lost to the Rams 34-7 coming out of the bye week on December 1st. And then last year, they did the same thing they earlier bye, but they beat Seattle in overtime October 25th, and then bye week, and then came out and lost to Tua and the Dolphins 34-31.
How would you handle the bye week? If you were Cliff Kingsbury, what would you do?
You handle it differently when you're winning, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. So at this point, this late in the season, I'm going to give the guys some time off. Especially with Thanksgiving mixed in there, I'm probably not, I don't know, you're not practicing them today, so that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you just bring guys back on Monday, right? I mean, I want to treat next week like it is a normal week.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think he's going to give them five full days off, and I would do that as well right now. It's so interesting because I was talking to you about this before, Luke, before the show, and teams coming off the bye week that are favored, they win 80% of the time. Wow. Think about that. Teams that come off the bye week that are favored, they win 80% of the time.
Well, they're going to be favored against
Chicago. They're
going to
be favored, right? And teams coming off the bye that were underdogs won 34% of the time. So it seems to me, you could read into that, that it benefits good football teams late in the season in particular coming off of that bye.
It basically amplifies whatever you are. If you're a good team, and the good team half of it makes sense. If you're a good team, you get some rest, your guys get healthy, you're a good team. So you go out there as the favorite coming out of it, you should win that game. Your coach, in theory, is a good coach if you're a good team. So he has had 2 weeks to prepare for your opponent that may be coming off just a regular week. The other side's interesting, though, what you're saying. If you are not as good of a team and you're coming out of the bye and you're an underdog, it
yes.
seems to amplify that, too.
Yes.
Like, sure, you got healthy, but you're not good.
Yes. Using all the data, there was a study that was done, ladies and gentlemen, like a decade ago, and I still think it applies because they used, like, 4 years. It was 110 games that they studied about the bye, and I still think it's applicable because it's not like football has changed massively in the last 10 years, especially in how you prepare a football player to play in a football game. I don't think it's changed very much. But using all data from the four seasons they evaluated, the records for favorites coming off of the bye, think about this right here. 56-13 straight up for all favorites. 56-13
wow.
coming off of a bye.
That's extreme. That is very extreme.
And this is what is really, really cool. Road favorites, I'm talking about gambling now, okay? Road favorites had a record of 19-2 straight up. Okay. Home favorites, 37-11. That's still really, really good if you're playing at home, coming off of the bye, and you're a favorite. But as we all know, you get more points when you're playing at home. And when you're on the road, a lot of times you're the favorite. If you're the favorite on the road, you're a good football team.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
If you're favorite on the road, coming out of a bye, you're a good football team. And the record says 19 and two.
Well, you're a good football team or you're an average football team playing a very bad football team. And we're going to see the two halves of that when the Cardinals come back on December 5th. They are a very good football team and they are playing a very bad football team on the road in the Chicago Bears. We don't even know who Chicago's quarterback or coach will be for that game. We really don't. It could be Matt Nagy coaching Andy Dalton or
yes.
Justin Fields, or
yes.
it could not be Matt Nagy. It could be who knows who. Mike Ditka coming back to coach Justin Fields.
Yes. Apparently, they're going to fire Matt Nagy on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, supposedly right after the game.
Thanks for the reminder right there. We appreciate that, Rick.
Make sure you tweet that to Matt Nagy, actually. Let him know that, too.
They made the announcement. Matt Nagy said, I don't know what you're talking about. Did you see that?
Yeah. But then he wouldn't follow through with, like, because they were like, it's Chicago. They were
I'm
like,
not
okay, so.
Laughing, ladies and gentlemen, at Matt Nagy.
I am.
Fired. I'm not. But just the fact that he said that, you know, he totally denied that as being untrue.
But then he wouldn't follow through and they're like, have you been given assurances you're going to be here the rest of the season? Then he was like, gotta go.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. But either way, that's what the Cardinals are walking into. They should be able to steamroll that team.
You do have to remember, though, that this data right here, this study that happened, it strongly supports that good teams benefit from the bye more than bad teams, obviously. But I think that's significant because a lot of times you would think coming off of a bye and you were a good football team, you would think, you know, if you were going to have a hiccup there's where that hiccup would happen.
Yeah.
There's where that slight would happen on your schedule. And that's not the case, according to this study. Now, again, it was done a decade ago, but it's such a large sample size. I think it still applies.
Yeah, I don't think that the elapsed time necessarily really matters. I think what you have to account for, and you're right, this is why you have the big sample size, is every situation's a little bit different. Like, okay, the Cardinals are a great team right now, going on the road to face a bad team, coming out of the bye. Like we just said, that bad team may not have their coach or their quarterback. Well, the Cardinals, at the same time, are going to be working their quarterback back in after he missed a month and a half almost, and their number one receiver perhaps, too. So there's a lot of moving parts. There may be some rust for the Cardinals to shake off, but I think ultimately what it comes down to is there is an art as a coaching staff and as a team to how you navigate the bye week.
Yes.
It's not just like, hey, I'll see you guys all in a few days.
Yes. But for the record, once again, make no mistake, good teams, their win rate on the road after a bye, 90%.
That's a pretty good number.
Think about
that
right there. 90% win rate on the road after a bye.
This is Cliff Kingsbury. Asked if they have learned anything from the fact that they're 0-2 after byes since he's gotten here.
Yeah, it definitely does. We haven't played very well after the bye, so we did a lot of research this offseason.
That one cut off, but there was definitely, he talked about how they kind of looked at how other teams, what they have done, the good teams, what they have done in their bye weeks the last couple years. So, you know how Cliff is with the research, and he's got his research team.
Sure.
He's going to find out what other teams that have had success have done over the last couple of years and at least try it.
I expect the Cardinals to play really, really well coming out of the bye because of the leadership, again, inside that locker room.
Have you subscribed to the Wolf and Luke podcast? You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Wolf and Luke podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. Coming up, Coyotes are playing a lot better, but they are facing Connor McDavid and the Oilers tonight. We'll talk about it with their head coach, Andre Tourigny. Next, it is the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. This is the Coyote Coaches Show with Wolf and Luke. Brought to you by Bell Ford, where it's all about the experience. One small step off I-17 in Bell, one giant Ford store.
And welcome back to the show. The Arizona Coyotes are, what, a seventh-round shot away from being 4-0 in their last four games. Instead, they're 3-0-1, which is still pretty good. And their head coach, Andre Tourigny, joins us right now. Coach, thank you for the time. I guess first, let's just start with what you've seen from your team. Do you feel like they are turning a corner here over the last couple weeks?
Well, I think they keep working hard. I think I'm not sure anything changed in their approach or the way – we do things. I think we work really hard. And, you know, when I looked the previous stretch of game, we were playing pretty good, but we're playing against a really good team. You know, when we started the season, I think after 10 games, we already played eight of the best team in the league, of the top 10 in the league. So, and we came up really close. If you look at the game in Carolina and Washington and Philly and other games where we were one shot away in the third period to win the game. So I think it's just right now it balanced during the season. When you look at it, sometimes you win some close one, you lose some close one, you win some games you should not have win, and the opposite is true. You win some game, you lose some game, sometimes you should have win. So I think that was one of those weeks.
You know, Coach, it's amazing because the game is played by human beings, and confidence is so critically important, especially when you play at the highest level our species can generate. These last four games, and the fact that they've seen themselves be successful in these last four games, I would imagine the confidence on this team has got to be boosted quite a bit, is it not?
Yes, it is. And you know what I like as well is we came back in games. We made a few comeback in the third period, and we found a way to go get the win and go get some points. So that is huge. And like you said, the confidence is an important thing. That's why it's important to not just base your confidence on result. Result help. But you need to be objective, look your performance, and look what you did right so you don't go too high or you don't go too low. When things going well, it's not going as well as you think. You're always 5 or 10% away of doing the wrong thing. And when your things are going wrong or going bad, it's the same thing. You're not as far as you think. You're probably 1 or 2 play or 5% or 10% away from turning the corner. So it's important to stay level, stay even keel, and keep grinding.
Bear, I was just going to ask you this right here. When you get up in front of your team and you talk to your team, do you tell them this stuff? Do you want them to buy into this confidence and what they've seen over the last four games in particular, the fact that they have gotten results? Do you try to highlight it and mention it and get them to buy into it? Or stay away from it and just let them figure it out?
For me, I don't want to have a different approach every game depending on the score. You want your team to be consistent, and you as a coach, you will have a different approach, and you will be inconsistent in your approach, and you will be high or low. I don't think that's the right message. I think when we play well, I have always video or why we played well and what we can do better. And when we didn't play as well, same thing, same approach. Mm. That's how we're doing well, and that is what we did not do good enough, and that's what we have to fix. And it's the same approach, same consistency, not always the same message, because there's different part of the game can be improved, and there's different stuff we want to get better at. And sometimes we, as an organization, we look at it and say, okay, that part of our game needs to be better, so let's address it and stuff like that.
But the standard.
The structure of the message is the same. Where I don't want to go too high and get too excited, or go too low and be too negative. It's same day has to be the same approach, the same enthusiasm.
Love
and
that.
We're going in the day knowing what we have to do.
Talking to Coyotes head coach Andre Tourney. Coach, Clayton Keller got the game winner against Detroit. He was pretty emotional and fired up after that. I mean, the team was fired up to get that overtime win. Then you get another one the next night. But specifically with Keller, a guy who bases a lot of his game on producing offensively, and he was in a little bit of a slump there. Now he's got 4 points in his last three games. How big do you think that goal was for him?
You know, Kel's... it was for sure. It's huge because, like you said, you're an offensive player. You want some result, but he's a good example of what we did talk about just before. Kel's now is stronger than he was. He's more complete. He's getting more mature as an individual, as a player, and he helps the team in more ways than just producing. And that's the way it has to be in the NHL. You know, if you want to have success, if you look the Sidney Crosby of that world, or the you can name every player you want. you need to be to find a way to help your team in many ways. And Kels has that competitive nature. He's really driven, and he wants to be the best player he can be. And he's much better away from the puck. He's much better defensively. He's really competitive. He makes play. He can shoot. He can make a lot of thing on the ice right now. And he wins battle below the goal line. And all stuff make him a difference maker. It's not just I don't look at the game at Keller anymore and just thinking at what he can produce offensively. He helps the team in many ways. He play PK, he play against top opponent. He's not a player you need to use mostly on offensive zone faceoff. You can use him everywhere on the ice against best player on the other side. So yeah, he grew his game and now he's taking more pride in that. At the beginning he did it because he knew that's where he needs to go as a player. But now he's doing it with pride. He's proud of himself of doing it. And you can see in his game. And sometimes at the start of the season, he was playing good game, but was not producing offense. And he was disappointed about himself. He was saying, yeah, I did not produce. Yeah. And we got to the point where now he can play a game without producing and knowing I played a good game today. I generate some stuff. I was really tough to play against. I was good for the team. I create takeaways and stuff like that. So, yeah, he's getting at another level right now.
You know, speaking of tough, Bear, you have got a tough task tonight against Edmonton. What makes the Oilers so good?
Oh, I think they have two really special players. We need to be honest with that, you know. And their special team is their power play is number one in the league, 10% of above the second, so that shows you how good they are. And their penalty killing is second in the league. So their special team is extremely elite. Plus, they have a team who possess the puck a lot. So you draw a lot of penalty when you possess the puck. And they're best in the league for possession. That's strength of them. And then that brings power play for them. Give them a chance to play on the power play, and that's where they excel. You know, if you look at McDavid, 50% of his production is on the power play this year. Draisaitl, 40% of his production is on the power play. They are really dynamic players. So they have defensemen really active on the offense, and they have a player who can hold on puck and create possession in the offensive zone. So we need to be able to defend against that.
Andre Tourigny, we always appreciate the time, man. Good luck tonight against the Oilers.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Happy Thanksgiving, Coach.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. You too, guys.
That's Coyotes head coach Andre Tourigny joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Yeah, the quick note on the Oilers. The top two scorers in the league are on the Oilers. So that'll be...
David is a bad, bad man.
He's one of the best players I've ever seen, and Draisaitl actually has more points than him this year. Draisaitl has 36 points. The Coyotes as a team have 35 goals. So that's how ridiculous it is, the level he's producing at. And nobody else in the league is really even within like a dozen points of him other than McDavid and Ovechkin. So that's certainly one to check out tonight if you've never seen McDavid in person, and also the Coyotes 3-0-1 in their last four. So that's they're playing much better hockey. All right, we're going to come back, and I don't even know how to tease this, Wolf. I just know you're going to tell us a Thanksgiving story, and I've been waiting to hear this now for about 5 hours, so that's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You've been listening to the Coyote Coaches Show with Wolf and Luke, brought to you by Bell Ford, where it's all about the experience. One small step off I-17 in Bell, one giant Ford store. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Well-worn blue jeans, crisply pressed slacks. Wolf and Luke.
All right, I made the mistake during the break of trying to make sense out of Aaron Rodgers during his press conference, and instead, Wolf, I'm just going to go to you. Why don't you tell us your Thanksgiving
Aaron
story?
Aaron Rodgers had a press conference right now.
It's all over Twitter.
He was just talking and stuff like that.
I think, but I'm shutting off the social media.
Okay, cool. All right. You know, it's probably a good idea you're broadcasting to shut off.
I need to have that there in case there's breaking news or something.
Right, of course. Yeah. What do you say, Rick? You give me a beat as I broadcast in my Dr. Dre's My Beats. Ladies and gentlemen, the year was 1985, and I was a rookie playing for the St. Louis Cardinals. A week before Thanksgiving, the equipment man, Skinhead was his nickname, posted an announcement on the bulletin board that Kroger's Supermarket, was offering a free turkey to all Cardinal players. All you had to do was take an order form and turn it into the trainers. That's all you had to do. Rip the order form off and fill it out and turn it in. Man, I thought to myself, this is the National Football League. They give you turkeys in the NFL. You got to pick the weight of the turkey on the order form, and they gave you a free turkey. Just incredible. So I grabbed the order form, basically, like every other guy, or so it seemed, and I filled out my order form, handing it to the trainers. What are you laughing at?
I have a thought of where this might be headed, but go ahead.
All was done, and all was well, ladies and gentlemen. We were going to have a great Thanksgiving day at the Wolfley compound. That much I knew. So the day before Thanksgiving, I went to pick up my turkey at the Kroger's on their the order form, of course, that at least they had the address there. And I walked up with a smile. I asked where the butcher was and made my way back after getting help from the baker. I walked back to the butcher and boldly and very confidently, I walked up and I said, can I get my turkey? And he looked at me and said, can I help you? And I said, well, I looked at him and I smiled and I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm Ron Wolfley. I'm with the St. Louis Cardinals and I'm here to pick up my turkey. The man's brow furrowed, Basinonians, immediately, and he looked a little confused. He said, who are you? And I said, I'm Ron Wolfley. I play fullback for the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm here for my turkey. I ordered it. The trainers told me to pick it up today before practice. The man looked like he had no idea what I was talking about. He said, I'm sorry, sir, but I have no idea what you're talking about. I was stunned, Basinonians. I didn't know what to do or say. I said, is this a joke? I ordered my turkey. It was on the bulletin board in our locker room. The trainers knew about it. What happened? I went into work that day later as I walked out dejected. And I went to the team meeting that started every morning of every day. I sat down in the back determined to get some answers on what happened, Basinoni. And suddenly Joe Bostic, a guard and a team captain, stood up before the meeting. And he said, hey, before we start our meeting, coach, we have a few announcements we'd like to make. Where's Freddie Joe Nunn? Freddie Joe, of course. May God rest him. Freddie Joe, my brother. Freddie Joe Nunn, the first round pick, he stood up. Freddie stood up, of course, and every veteran sitting in the room, including some coaches, raised their head up into the air, put their hand to their throat, twinkled their fingers against their throat, and gave us the turkey salute. They gave Freddie Joe the turkey salute right there. Scott Burgold! Where's Scott Burgold? The second round pick, Basinonians. Where is Scott Burgold? Scott Burgold stood up and they went. They gave him the turkey salute. They did it for all rookies. Every rookie that showed up to get their turkey, including me, they gave him the turkey salute. The year was 1985, and I was a rookie playing for the St. Louis Cardinals.
That's it. That's just an abrupt
end
of the story.
Can you imagine right there, honestly, here you were making plans for a turkey.
Yeah.
You had your turkey. Can you imagine what it was like to go home and tell the family you didn't have a turkey?
Did you just give them the turkey salute?
No, I did not, because I would not have understood what that was. Because we didn't know what it was.
Because I'm not sure I understand what it is.
Well, they're gobbling you. Oh, yeah, we got you. I mean, this is what they used to do to rookies. They used to punish you for being a rookie, being young and dumb and gullible.
That story was either going to go one of two ways where you were going to have accidentally ordered a live turkey that you then had to take care of.
No.
Or you were getting some sort of rookie hazing.
You know what's amazing about it? A couple of notes on this, Basinonians. Number one, my brother Craig never told me and knew about it. This was a ruse that a lot of the NFL teams perpetrated on rookies.
So he had already gone through it.
Oh, yeah. He didn't tell me. This is the way that it was. He had been in the league 5 years.
He got hazed by your own brother.
He did not tell me that he got pilfered.
Oh, wow.
Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, the next year, 1986, when all of a sudden I was in on it, it was like, this is the greatest thing ever. Can't wait to just totally haze the rookies right here. We had a rookie coach. His name was Gene Stallings, who actually went to get his turkey at Kroger's. Came from Dallas. He played coached for 14 years with the Dallas Cowboys under Tom Landry. He got up there and said, "I want you all to know that was a bunch of garbage."
Did you give him the turkey salute?
Yeah, I'm playing for the Dallas Cowboys, and the Cowboys actually gave us turkeys. I want you all to know that ain't nothing but a big joke. He actually went to get his turkey. Gene Stallings, because in Dallas, they gave you turkeys. For real.
Oh, stop and think about that. That's even worse.
They would give you the turkey.
Gene
Stallings got duped.
A very important question before we wrap up the show here. So your brother didn't tell you what you were going to go through.
No.
If your little brother was going through it, would you have told him?
No.
Okay. Making sure.
No, as a matter of fact.
I rest my case.
The final thing I'm going to say about this quickly is they used to film dudes who did this. They used to film dudes. Can you imagine how bad that was? They didn't film us doing it in 1985, but they used to do it. Kroger's was totally in on it, too.
What, they had the store? They had the grocery store?
Oh, yeah,
on it?
They were totally in it.
So basically everybody in the city except the rookies.
The butcher just looked at me. He knew exactly what I was doing.
What do you think the Cardinals rookies are doing this year? Probably actually getting free turkeys.
The year was 1985.
Wow, that's quite the story. It's not one I will forget. All right, Wolf, we've gotten here. We're wrapping up the show now.
Peace and strength, my brothers.
Thanks to Aaron Maloney, Jesse Morrison behind the glass. For Wolf, I'm Luke. We got Burns and Gambo coming up next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.